out across the galaxy. This is where conspiracy on the wild side meets the perspective of a lifetime. This is the Free Zone with your host, Freeman.
Hello and welcome to the Free Zone. Well, guys, it's quite a wild ride here on planet Earth, and in a time when CERN lead scientists are saying that the universe should not exist, and the vice president saying that we will return to the moon and even genetically modify humans to reach beyond the moon, Mars, and further, it is time to return to simple questions. I'm telling you, simple questions like, why are there 60 seconds in a minute? Why are there 60 minutes to an hour? Why are there 360 degrees to a circle? Why do we live in a hexadecimal system? Simple questions like this will lead to amazing revelations to planet Earth. And we may find that we live in the age of the hex. Well, today we are going to talk with Crow777. That is Crow777radio.com is his website. And we're going to learn today how belief is the enemy of knowledge. So please welcome to the Free Zone, Mr. Crow. It is wonderful to have you here. Now, Crow, the internet is such a bizarre place, and you know, I've had this thing. I've been trying to push people. You know, I've had freemantv.com for 12 years, and I have been trying to push people to go to my website, visit it. I have fans that have listened to me for a decade that have actually never been to my website, and anytime if I don't push things out into other platforms like YouTube, Google Plus, all these other situations and links and things, I get all the messages from people saying, why did you quit? Why did you quit? And in 12 years, I have never quit. I have never not done a show. And we are reaching a time now where we are being censored, and we are being brought down a path where if you're not on YouTube, well, you don't exist anymore. And so they hold all the power. All the cards are in their hands. And we need to start making a move towards getting people to be more directly connected to us and move away. I mean, honestly, now, Crow, people aren't going to believe this, but before we contacted you for the show, you had never heard of me, correct?
Not totally correct. I had heard of you. It's just that I have a real problem drawing lines with people that I haven't had direct contact. When I actually spoke to you and had asked you what was your website and gave you the full-on impression that I'd never heard of you, I spoke with Jason after the fact, and he clued me back in. We've actually had discussions about you, it turns out, because I suppose, I'm not sure if this is right, he may have spoken to you at some conference or something. There was something about a conference, and I can't even remember that, but I have heard of you, but I have not visited your website, so I am guilty too.
Yeah, no worries. You know, the point really being is that when my fans look at my numbers, say on Twitter or on YouTube and all of that, they're like, no, this can't be correct. You know, you don't only have 5,000 followers on Twitter. I mean, I've been following you for a decade. It's not right. Possible that you don't have hundreds of thousands of people on your YouTube. I mean, I haven't even broken 100,000 followers on YouTube, and I've been on there for, well, since YouTube was created. You know, right. Before it was owned by Google, I was on YouTube. I'm in a documentary about being one of the first people on YouTube, but my numbers don't show it. Numbers don't show it. And it definitely, I have been king of the shadow ban. And I really want to talk to you as we begin this show, just a little bit about this situation, because it's kind of dire. I mean, I get messages from people. If my show doesn't go on YouTube, I get 100 messages saying, why'd you quit? So now we are dealing in this area, in the arena, where we are completely being censored, and it's all going according to plan.
Right. So, I mean, I can give you a tip right off the bat. You want to clear 100,000, just go ahead and shift your content over to Kim Kardashian's ass and hula hoops, you'll clear 100,000 in no time at all. But to be serious here, the social media boat has hit an iceberg. It's going down. And the question is now becoming, will the masses wake up or will they go down with the social media ship? I have produced so much content, not quite as much as you. It sounds like you've been there much longer. I've been on YouTube since 2013. I have roughly 80,000 followers by their count, which is nonsense, as you pointed out. And I'm locked out of my channel right now. There's over 4 years straight of high-end telescopic work. What we assume is the first discovery of what's now known to be the lunar wave is among that footage. And they're threatening to burn it all down. As a matter of fact, right before we came on the air, I pointed you over to my Twitter to see an image that Jason sent me, my co-host, that seems to be a response to the meme we have started called the modern day book burning to reflect what, in fact, YouTube is doing. I mean, any intelligent person can immediately understand that anything put up on YouTube is a snapshot in history. Doesn't matter what the content is. It really doesn't. 300 years from now, if people were to come back and look at any given clip, it would encapsulate the era it was made. And yet what YouTube is now doing is censoring, deleting, banning, removing. And then they release this cute little old-timey image that I shared with you that's on my Twitter, Crow777, that basically says your films will last forever on YouTube. Seems to be a direct response to the meme. But I think the main heart of the problem you bring up here is, what are we going to do about this? I just put up a show today on Crow777 Radio where I released a 5-point action plan. The first point is a message to youth. Older guys like Freeman and myself, we remember a time that was much freer than the time we live in now. A big part of why I'm doing this is for the people who are under 30 now, because if people do not stand up now, the people who are under 30 are likely going to know a level of slavery that is unparalleled in the history of this country. And that all circles around free speech, freedom of expression, freedom of thought, these kinds of things. The main thing I would point out here is what we've done is we've all centralized our communications onto platforms like social media, YouTube. And what that has done is made it very easy to take us out. In my case, my little city was called Crow777 on YouTube, and it got bombed. It got bombed by Google. So what I am doing now is taking a page from the ARPANET book. Those are the people that created the internet. It was a military idea. The idea behind the internet was to decentralize communication from a militaristic standpoint. And the idea there was, is if a city got blown off the map, communication would still get through because the internet provides so many avenues for the information to get out. That's what I'm doing. Hence, that's why I'm here at Freeman. I will no longer participate in YouTube or Facebook. I haven't used Facebook in many years. I'm leaving these things behind, and I'm going to centralize at crow777radio.com. I'm going to come out to shows like Freeman. By the way, thank you so much, sir, for having me. And I'm going to decentralize communication. But that was a bit of a wordy response, man. Back to you.
No, absolutely. That's the case. And I hope that you don't find the same issues that I have, that the moment you're not on these platforms like Facebook and YouTube, that people start wondering why you quit. It's an amazing phenomenon to me. It's really weird. But now, on that note, okay, so they are promoting certain people, and they are making certain thoughts get out into the mainstream of conspiracy or truthers or whatever terms right. that they have designed. And I have always believed in this situation that we, as the truthers, we're going to be the very downfall of our own nation. And I really feel that this is the case right now. So let me set the stage a little bit. We have a situation right now where Alex Jones is saying that he prompted the president to release the JFK files. They are on the verge of releasing the ET UFO files. And everyone and their brother has a theory about what occurred in Las Vegas. Now, personally, I feel that as we throw out messages like, look at these war criminals and show pictures of our past presidents, that we are setting the stage for a world court situation for America, setting up a stage for the situation where we are brought to what I call the American Nuremberg trials, and we as the truthers, or more specifically, those angry theorists that are out there spreading hate about all of this stuff and saying, look how dumb everybody is. And, you know, if we release these files, or if we can figure out who actually killed everybody in Las Vegas, then we could bring justice. And I personally believe that all along, from 9/11 on up to now, this wisdom of the crowd, this crowdsourcing crime control, is the very plan. And so these type of people absolutely get promoted and even raised to the level of Glenn Beck, if we're talking about Alex Jones. And yet we are going to be the very downfall of the system itself, and destroy ourselves and do it all on our own. How do you feel about that?
I've addressed this a lot. And as a matter of fact, the show that I released today on Crow 777 Radio is episode 79, and it begins to address the herd mentality, which is what social programmers use. Many people will recognize that Tavistock, the Frankfurt School, of course, the evil minds of Sigmund Freud and Carl Jung, who probably are among the most detrimental people I can imagine in Western history, who began to show how to hack the human mind and how to herd a group mentality. What we're seeing now, well, let me back off that. I've chosen to go away where I join no groups. I don't participate in a group environment of any kind. What I try to do is my own research, and I present it. What you're saying is a true thing. What you're looking at is social engineering. It's the herd mentality. And you're absolutely right in pointing out that how is it that this guy has 150,000 followers and he said something about Vegas, but Crow 777 outed Vegas and he was booted off YouTube. Well, it's evident on the face of it what's going on. One message is approved, another message is not, and that tells you something. The main thing I would point out is that so much of the so-called truther movement, of which I take no part, I do my own thing. I am an independent individual. I'm an independent thinker, but so much of it is people trained to look for the devil. And where is the devil? The devil is in the details. The details are the mind hook, the mystery, the thing that never resolves, the things that will never, it's a bit like going into any given event that you're questioning and walking around at the scene, looking at all these small details. Or here's a better analogy. I want to see a whole tree, but I keep asking for individual leaves. So I say, I want to see that whole tree. Can you hand me a leaf? Someone hands me a leaf and I examine it. Well, that's not good enough. Can you hand me another leaf? And they keep handing me leaves when, in fact, all I really need to do is get the hell away from individual little bits of detail like that and get a complete view of the entire tree to understand, well, there's the tree I wanted to see. These events that they stage in front of us are no different. And the problem is that we've all been trained, most of us, by television, media, any number of things, into a very infantile, self-centered, animalistic mind. And it facilitates the herd mentality that will go for the details every time. And again, the devil's in the details. You want to go looking for the devil, I'm sure you'll find him. But it's never going to get you any closer to any semblance of what you're actually looking for, which is a way to make a solid call on any given thing that you're examining. My podcast deals with this a lot. You know, I know you're going to bring up a number of things, so I'll hold off. But anyhow, there it is.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel free to, you know, let your mind go and give all your thoughts, because, you know, we are kind of an oddity crow, because I also am an independent researcher that had never used anybody else's science or, you know, thoughts or theories for my own. I form my thoughts and I bring the evidence, you know, and this has been something. I mean, I have been contrary to truthers from day one. I was yelling at 9/11 truthers, saying, you know, you guys are going to be your own demise, and you just can't see it yet. You think your ego is going to save you by showing how smart you are. And oh, God, Crow, I know you deal with those comments in your YouTube channel.
It's the group, isn't it? You know, in the modern era, if you want to join groups, what you're doing is the same thing as everyone using YouTube right now. You're centralizing yourself. You're making a bombable city, and your city will be bombed if it ever comes to matter. It's that simple. I don't join any group ever for anything, not religion, not nothing. I am a higher-minded adult on my own, and I will look and evaluate and use as my best possible abilities as a higher-minded adult to bring forth what I do. But at no point will I join the flat earth. While I appreciate what all those people are trying to do, and I truly myself understand this world is misdescribed, I'm not joining a group. That's just the way of things. In the modern age, using social media is joining a group for all intents and purposes. What you're doing is you're centralizing what you're doing. You're making it controllable. You're making it socially engineerable, and you're making it bombable. If someone wants to take you out, you will be taken out. You will get your strikes. You will have your content removed. We got to grow beyond this. The time for that nonsense, this kind of group herd mentality, is past. We're all individuals. We don't require a group or a herd or any of these things. We can all stand up on our own two feet without diapers, walk out into the world, and decentralize. Every person that you meet in your world that has a different opinion or a different point of view than you do brings variety to the system. Yet in this group herd mentality that's gone on online, we've all been trained to be at odds with people who take a different point of view. Well, they believe in aliens and I don't, this kind of thing. They believe the earth is flat and I don't, this kind of thing. I will point out, having done, I can't even tell you how much research on social engineering, I can tell you this with a certitude. A group or a, let me put this better, a society that has a lot of variety is infinitely more difficult to control than a society without variety. This is a fact. One of the first things social engineers do is they remove variety. Anyone listening to this wants to go out and prove it, I'll give you an easy way to prove it to your own mind. Do this. If you're in America, go out and look at the class of car, like, say, a Hyundai Santa Fe, that kind of SUV kind of looking car. Look at all the manufacturers. Look at Nissan. Look at all the people making that class of car. They look nearly identical. Now look at the colors, okay? There's gray. There's black. There's not many black, white, and red. There's very few colors. What you're looking at when you talk to someone like Freeman or myself, who were alive in the 70s, is the exact opposite of what was going on back then when there was variety. You see, the variety has been removed and limited, and now it's reflected in that particular class of cars as an example, but also their color. You see, back in the 70s, when Ford put out a Mustang, Chevy was right there competing to make a better Camaro to try to get people to buy it. As a matter of fact, I forget whether it was the Dodge Challenger or whatever it was, had its own color. It was like Challenger blue or Challenger purple, whatever it was. In other words, there was a lot of variety in the system. Now pull this all back around to all of us group joiners on social media and all of us herd mentality people joining up all these little centralized groups. Here's the deal. If you continue to let yourself be trained to be at odds with someone because their religion, their creed, their belief systems, you know, flat earth, round earth, alien, no alien, reptilian, no any of these things, what you are doing is attacking variety. Variety may well be your saving grace in the coming age. The more variety that is in the system, the more difficult social engineers' problem will be in taming what they are actually trying to do, which is basically full world domination. That's what this has always been about. It's the same people who have always had all the money. Everything we look at is slowly all corporations becoming one corporation, the fake twin towers nonsense becoming one world tower. Get it? One world. This is all headed for an end game. And so I would just urge everyone out there, man, embrace variety. You meet people who think differently than you do, value that. Value every bit of diversity you can put into the system, because we're under a full frontal press. And if people like Freeman and myself, who are older and understand what has just occurred, do not stand up and succeed, I assure you, there will be a day when you go to your ATM and it won't give you money, and you'll get some ridiculous excuse like your car insurance is not up to date. Sorry, you can't have money today. That's where this heads. It all starts with free speech, freedom of thought, freedom of expression. But if this is not combated, it will creep into every facet of our lives, and it will be done by the hidden hand behind the keyboard. We don't know who they are, where they are. They're just running the computers, man. This is where it starts. But anyhow, sorry.
So well said. And honestly, I have been kicked off Facebook 9 times and haven't returned. I haven't been on Facebook in years. All right, so let's take it to perception. Let's start to understand our universe a little bit better. I know you are the best to ask these type of questions. I mean, we are sitting in a situation right now where CERN just posted that their scientists have found that the universe should not exist. At the same time, we have take it.
Well, I mean, come on. This is the old Tavistock playbook. Never let anybody get a very clear picture of things and then introduce conflicting information. For my money, CERN has never done anything it's told you it was doing. As a matter of fact, that most popular of sitcoms on television, which will be a prime programming tool because most popular, most minds, has recently done things like said, nothing CERN has been put here to do is shaken out. String theory is nonsense. La-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's all nonsense. What CERN is there for, we don't know. We don't have a way to know. We can't walk in the door because we don't have the backstage pass. What they're telling you it's there for is complete nonsense. That's
unless you're in hooded robes.
Well, yeah.
Unless you're in hooded robes and want to do a ceremony around Shiva, then you're clear. You saw that video, right?
Maybe if you know which one of Shiva's thousand arms to pull, the door will open for you. I don't know. The point is that what you're looking at is social engineering. If, in fact, the place exists as we're told it does, most of us have only ever seen it on Google Earth, so I would even go so far as to say if someone hasn't walked up there and seen that it physically exists, that might be a good thing to do. That's how no nonsense we're going to get here. But my point is, if it truly exists in the way we've been shown and there's however many miles of underground pipes, they're doing something. The problem here is they're not doing what they've told you, and I can prove it, and I'll prove it right now. Go back and look at the Nova special where they announced, Lordy B, we've found the God particle, the Higgs boson.
Which was actually originally titled the Goddamn particle. It's just that they couldn't say that.
Right. It should still be called that because it's just a mind screw. Go back and look at the Nova announcement. And what's funny, what I remember the most about it, besides Higgs sitting there and you're being told, here's the man who discovered the whole thing, but he can't talk right now. And by the way, I'm just an administrator, so I'm going to ask all you physicists in the audience, what do you think? Did we discover it? Yay. Yes, yes. Everyone says, yes, we've discovered the God particle. It's so much painful nonsense to watch. But during the course of that, they're asking all these people, so look at this graph and tell us where we'll find the Higgs boson. And this guy goes, well, it'll be in this range or that range. And one guy walks up and says, you'll never find the Higgs boson because it doesn't exist. One guy told you the truth in that whole episode, one guy. And he was on for about 5 seconds. If you use your higher mind, you will understand when the ring of truth does not exist in a thing. It's no different than hearing a child lie and understanding, certainly, not debatably, that you've just been lied to. You may not quite be able to explain to a room full of people why you know for a fact you've been lied to, but nonetheless, you know you've been lied to. It's a bit like that. It's almost a bit like this, walking into the kitchen and smelling a pie in the oven. You know damn well that pie is in the oven. The difference there is that I can explain to other people why I know there's a pie in the oven. But let's get back to CERN. CERN, when they did the NOVA announcement of the Higgs boson, I don't know how asleep you would have to be to miss the kind of stagecraft, the mind screw, the sleight of hand that was going on there. I would invite anyone to go back and look at the NOVA announcement of the ridiculous, non-existent Higgs boson and scrutinize it, challenge it, and walk out the other side. And you tell me, is CERN ever done anything it's told you? It sure as hell isn't doing anything with so-called particles, I'll tell you that. And if it is, we've never heard a certain true thing about any of it. That's where I'm coming from.
I would agree with that. Everything is behind the veil, without a doubt. And I love the statement on your website, belief is the enemy of knowing. And every year I have done a 1013 show because this was another highlighted date for me, like 9/11 that had meaning inside of the secret societies. 1013, of course, is the famous Friday the 13th and the day that the Knights Templar were burnt at the stake in 1307. But so every 1013, I am watching for some bizarre event. And every 1013, it has not failed. There has been an amazing event. So at one point on 1013, I was with Jack Blood, and we were discussing, we were actually doing a fake War of the Worlds type of radio broadcast, and I was his UFO expert on the show. I honestly didn't know that we were doing a mock broadcast, a false War of the Worlds scenario. But as we were live on the air doing this, it turned out there was a major UFO, which would had been predicted by, I believe it was Benjamin Fulford, that there would be a major UFO appearance on 1013. And sure enough, it occurred. There was a massive amount of orbs orbiting the Freemasonic Grand Lodge in New York. And hundreds of people witnessed this, filmed it, and everything. And this year I did a 1013 show, not really knowing that anything had happened yet, knew that there were things coming. 1013 is also the date of Fatima. And in Fatima, it was said that the sun danced around for moments, and everyone witnessed this that were there to witness the arrival of Mary. But on 10/13, 2017, from Benin, there came a video this year on 10/13 of the sun pulsing repeatedly. And it is quite amazing. It is there in my Twitter feed if you guys want to go check it out. And so, you know, saying belief is the enemy of knowing, when we see the sun pulsing like this and somebody filming it and the crowds reacting to it, everybody immediately thinks, well, you know, maybe it was faked, maybe it was the camera, maybe it was something, but nobody ever thinks, well, maybe the sun isn't what we think it is.
Well, it's not. Yeah. Yes. Didn't mean to interrupt you there. You handed to me.
No, yeah, I'm passing the mic.
The sun and the moon are misdescribed. As a matter of fact, anyone who's familiar with my work will understand that I started by doing roughly 4 nonstop years of high-end telescopes, filming sun, moon, sky, day, night, all sorts of stuff. Filmed some of the most bizarre things you can imagine, and by accident caught what is now termed the lunar wave, the first lunar wave in 2012, right at the fall equinox on the night of Yom Kippur, of all nights. But my point is this. The more that I began to study the sky carefully, the more I began to realize that everything we'd been told is a lie, a provable lie. It's not really even arguable. And to the point where when you understand how science has gotten to be what it is, it's scientism. It's a religion. There's just certain things. Like, you can't go into any scientific place in this world and say, okay, guys, today we're going to challenge the moon landing. They'll all look at you and say, no, sorry, you're a jackass. Get out. You see, that's not science. Any true science place should say, okay, let's challenge it. Let's see if there's any there. That's not what we see. We live in a world of scientism now, where these dictates put down by people who, in many cases, didn't have any proof, like Einstein. Einstein is a prime example. Einstein was brought on the stage to defame Michelson and Morley's experiments, which proved that our world is misdescribed, and that there was, in fact, an ether, and that for light to reach our eyes, it requires something to travel through. That something was ether. Well, Einstein was brought on the stage to dismiss all that with not even an experiment. This is the world we live in. As I got going on my telescopic observations, I started to make what would be called, I guess, estimations on what I was looking for. And as time went on, I began to challenge them and then predetermine ways that I would go about it and try to predict the outcome either way to understand what I had found. So I focused in on eclipses. I filmed nearly every solar and lunar eclipse and the transits of Venus and all that when I was still in San Diego over those 4 years. One of the last things I filmed in San Diego was what's called a solar eclipse. For those who aren't aware, we're being told that what happens during a solar eclipse is the sun at 93 million miles is obscured by the moon at roughly just over a quarter of a million miles from our point of view on Earth. That's what we're being told to happen. So basically, the moon is blocking out the sun. On the last eclipse I filmed, I took 2 high-end telescopes. One of them was 11-inch, one of them was 8-inch. I took a honking big telephoto lens with a doubler and some standard solar filters and not solar filters, and I took a full-spectrum camera. And I said to myself, if what we've been told is true, the sun is an infinite light source at 93 million miles. The moon, we are told, is a rock in space at roughly a quarter of a million, just over a quarter of a million, which means as the moon approaches the sun to eclipse it, it will be backlit by the brightest thing we know in existence. I should be able to detect it. So I set about going to detect the moon coming into the solar eclipse, and it couldn't be done. I used light obliteration techniques. I used full spectrum cameras. I used every filter I had. I used two telescopes. I used a telephoto. I did everything I know how to do, and it couldn't be done. Fast forward to the eclipse we just had. Now I'm on the East Coast, and I filmed this one again. By the way, the chemtrails were so bad in so many parts of the country, people couldn't even film this eclipse. But this time, I put a full-spectrum camera on an 11-inch telescope, and I filmed the whole thing in totality and almost got it on another camera with just a standard long-throw doubled telephoto lens and a standard filter for the sun. And this is what I can tell you. The moon plays no role in solar eclipses, and it's provable. It's not arguable. People can come say anything they want, but I am here to tell you that you can prove demonstrably that the moon plays no role in a solar eclipse, and here's how you can know this is true. You cannot detect the moon coming into a solar eclipse, and yet it is being backlit by the brightest thing we know at 93 million miles, when itself is not even a quarter of a million. It's just over a quarter of a million miles. There's your first problem, but that's not quite enough to seal the deal. I was a stagehand for many years, or a roadie, if you like, and I worked with a lot of lighting people, and I learned a lot about lights, which is what got me going to try to prove this in a different way. We're told by science that the sun is an infinite light source. If you take a different kind of light called a spotlight, that is not an infinite light source, and you put it on a person and there's a wall behind them, it will cast a shadow of a certain size. If you move that spotlight closer to the object, the shadow will grow. That's what spotlights do. Infinite light sources do not do this. By the physics of lighting, accepted by science, dictated by science, an infinite light source, the shadow cast, will always be the same size as the object casting it. So there you know something of infinite light sources. So now let's get back to the sun, which is an infinite light source. There it is, infinitely backlighting a supposed rock in space, and yet we can't detect it. Big problem. We can't see what is supposed to be the moon until it breaks the limb of the sun and you start to see that black hollowed out look of an eclipse. Well, here's the other thing. We were told that the shadow cast by this eclipse on the Earth was roughly, I think it was 72 miles. Don't quote me. It was in the neighborhood of 72 miles. You know what that tells us? That tells us that the object that blocked the sun is roughly 72 miles wide. It's what it tells us, because the sun is an infinite light source. And an infinite light source that hits an object, that object will cast a shadow that is the size of the object casting the shadow. Now go look at the NASA models of how a shadow looks when it's diagrammed out. What they will show you is the sun backlighting the moon and then a cone coming off the moon down to a point shadow on the Earth. It's all nonsense, and it's provable nonsense. So there's that for anyone who wants to, you know, run with it, think about it, take it apart, accept it, reject it, whatever you want to do. There's the facts, Jack. The moon plays no role in solar eclipses, and that further backs up what I have said for a long time, that not only our world, but the sun and moon are both misdescribed by intent.
Well, I guess the scientists at CERN would agree. We're not even meant to exist. I mean, we've had events like the La Crosse satellite that they crashed into the moon, and you know, the amount of rocket launches by SpaceX over the last few weeks has been astounding.
Yeah, they throw them all in the ocean. I was there for every supposed crash on the moon, and I predicted everyone accurately. I had 11-inch telescope, but sometimes a 12-inch telescope. Nothing ever hit the moon. Nothing has ever hit the moon. You know, the one rule we know for certain that is true in this lifetime is change. Is that agreeable? I mean, I don't think there's anyone out there who's not going to agree. The one thing we know is true is change. In all the 4 years that I viewed the moon nonstop, nothing ever changed in iota. Even to the point where when I started pointing out that how come an asteroid or a rock or nothing ever hits the moon, how come there's never a new crater? They started making up these supposed 4K videos of an asteroid, and you see this crappy black and white grainy video they're calling 4K, And you see this little white flash and they say, there it is. Something just hit the moon. And I, you know, I'm sitting there in my backyard going, at what point does NASA's video start to need to approach the quality of my no budget video that I am shooting from my backyard? It's all nonsense. And the whole time I have been alive, the moon has never changed one iota. That should tell everybody something, I think.
I would think so. And to you know, help back you up there, the moment as we were watching the lacrosse, I got up at like 6 a.m. to watch this happen. The moment of impact on the NASA feed for the lacrosse satellite as it crashed into the moon, the feed went black. I mean, you know, the moment of impact, no more feed. We didn't even get to see it hit, you know?
So. Well, you see, as long as sheep have hay, you really don't got to show them very good images. You just tell them what they missed.
Right. Exactly.
it's too pretty much. Bad. You know, the moon is not a rock in space. Ooh, hold on. I just got nailed by YouTube. Let's see. Due to a copyright claim, your YouTube video has been blocked. This means your video can no longer be played. How ISS footage is faked in a parabolic arc plane. So this would be a copyright claim. I already have 2 strikes on my channel. Does that mean my channel's now dead? Here on the air with you, I just received this copyright claim. That's a strike, right?
I'll tell you, I have a number of copyright claims, including my very first videos on YouTube that are banned in most countries, but not blocked worldwide, as many of my videos are. So I can tell you that I have a number of copyright strikes on my channel, and it has not blocked it yet. I get messages saying you've got a copyright claim, you know, but this does not affect your channel. It's just no one can watch it. And
so let's dissect this for a second. Yeah. What this clip is titled "How ISS Footage is Faked in a Parabolic Arc Plane." What I did is I went to Wikicommons and I got footage from the ISS. If you go to Wikicommons, it will tell you that nearly all NASA footage contains no copyright unless otherwise stated. So what they just did here, I believe, I'm surmising, not being able to get into my channel to have a look because I am locked out, that ISS footage of astronauts on the International Space Station, which supposedly every taxpayer in this country pays for, is copyrighted, and I have violated that copyright by running that footage of astronauts supposedly in space. That's what it appears to be here.
Right, and it's not like you could call YouTube and say, hey, what's the deal? You know,
of course not, because that's not what the system is designed to do. This system is designed to control the message. And, you know, 9/11 was really the opening salvo where the hidden hand wasn't so hidden anymore, at least if you weren't sleeping. Unfortunately, as many will remember back, the day after 9/11, if you went outside, our country was suddenly painted red, white, and blue. That was social programming and mass hysteria and psychosis brought to us by social engineering. But for those of us who saw through the nonsense, understand that what we're seeing now is just people coming out from behind the curtain to do what they've always been doing in broad daylight, hopefully hoping that the group herd mentality will just watch it happen. And I'm here to tell you that, you know, I'm hoping people like Freeman are with me here. I'm standing against this to the bitter end.
Absolutely. I mean, right now we have an article out that says conspiracy theorists have a fundamental cognitive problem, say scientists. and goes on to say that as a predictive organ, the brain is on the constant lookout for patterns that both explain the world and help you thrive in it. And that conspiracy theorists have a psychological problem in a phenomenon they call illusory pattern perception. And this would show what drives people like climate change deniers, 9/11 truthers, and Pizzagate believers. So we actually have...
Well, you know, that's a funny thing. Let's talk about that. So they state 2 things that are outright nonsense. And then a third thing that was created for people to believe in that doesn't have any basis in reality. So it's a complete mind warp. It's using the Tavistock idea of never let anyone have a clear picture and then introduce conflicting information all the time. This has clear fingerprints of social engineering all over it, and they can say whatever they want about 9/11. Anyone who's not chewing cud at this point, I mean, it's obvious what it was. Has nothing to do with terrorism. They basically blamed a whole nation called Islam for something they took no part in. Basically, that's what happened. It's no different than the thing that just happened in Vegas. It's no different than Boston. It's no different than Sandy Hook. It's no different than JFK, for crying out loud. These are all staged events brought to you by the social engineers of our world who are basically working for oligarchs with the end game of, you know, filling one world trade center with one world government, you know, basically a fascist regime. And, you know, the strike that I just got while I was on the air here recording this show is proof. I ran NASA footage, for crying out loud, and got a copyright strike. I paid for that, right? I'm an American, so probably, according to them, my money is what funds those astronauts from being in space, yet I can't run that footage. Go figure, man.
Yes, yes. And I have had that same problem where I can't use any footage of anything. So, you know, it just allows me to actually expose what I'm trying to talk about without a doubt. Things have gotten to the point where, yeah, we have no ownership of our own content, and we have no ownership of things that even we're supposed to have ownership as they start to claim all these copyrights and set us up. But now, one thing I guess I keep wanting to return to, you had mentioned the JFK files and 9/11 and even Las Vegas. And in all these situations, if anyone was looking at it, they immediately had questions. Nothing fit the narrative of the mainstream. And I believe that we were set up to go hunt down these answers and to prove it to the world that these things were false, and in this way destroy our own nation in the process.
Well, of course, you know, you get people fighting, you get a whole nonsense dialectic, but what you started out with there was the proof in the pudding. Everybody looked and nothing was right. And yet that tells you all you need to know. It's like talking to that child that lies to you. You know, you've just been lied to, for crying out loud. What the heck more do you need to know? Really nothing. And not only that, what will never stop astounding me is the time of year it occurred. You know, this is a re-echoing of 9/11. This happens in the fall. Well, let me tell you something. That word is a loaded word. All your programming, your new programming on TV that programs you, comes to you in the fall. You know why? Because it is the fall of the human mind they are after. They are programming the human mind, and have done so basically over three generations since the greatest, what was called the greatest generation, which were people who were born before the advent of television. From that time forward, the goal of the social engineers, which is documented, is to lower adult human minds into an infantile, animalistic level. That's why your programming that is brand new is brought to you in the fall. That is why the Twin Towers was brought to you in the fall. That is why this nonsense harvest, hint, hint, festival on Route 91, hint, hint, on 10-1, hint, hint, was brought to you in the fall. You don't need to dig through the details to know what these things are. It's just more nonsense. As a matter of fact, if you hear anything come out of your television and you don't understand what it's designed for, you're a little bit behind the eight ball. And if you're a person who gets stuck digging into the details, I'll tell you what you're going to find there. You're going to find the devil in the details. That's where the devil lives. You've been told this since you were a child. And that is a metaphor in the way that I'm using it. But nonetheless, man, are you going to be a person who tries to see a whole tree and examines a leaf at a time? Or are you going to wake up and stand the hell back and look at the whole tree? It's really kind of that simple, if you think about it.
So what do you think the purpose is of the vice president announcing that we will return to the moon and even beyond and go to Mars? And then, you know, we can throw in that they want to genetically modify superhumans for space travel. But, you know, what do you think the purpose is of them making such an announcement?
For the same purpose that we had Star Trek in 1966, it was going to set the expectation of what space was, what it looks like when a when someone goes to space with a starship. By the way, the Enterprise hull number encodes 9/11. Hint, hint. It goes on and on. What a planet looks like, what a spaceship looks like when it's going to a planet. All these things are fantasy. Space is misdescribed. Everything about your world is misdescribed. You probably could look backwards in time hundreds of years and have known people who had a better handle on where it is they exist than we do now. And this is brought to you by science. This is brought to you by your education. There's no getting away from these things. And Mr. Pence, we're going to the moon? Really? Because we've never been there before and we can prove it. As a matter of fact, I am on the record as having said nothing has ever left our atmosphere, not man or machine. And I think that's demonstrable. And, you know, it's written all over the place. I mean, I would invite any listener, if you're of a mind like I am, that words have meaning, that when a word is written or said, it has a meaning, go look at the second verse to the Beatles' Yellow Submarine as an example. What in God's name are they talking about there? I have been on the record as stating it is likely that space is actually liquid, which is reflected in many of the major religions in the world. I am on the record as having stated there seems to be some kind of a hard, fast barrier between what we call our atmosphere and what we call space. And while my telescopic work took me so far, I couldn't get where I needed to be. So what I did is I surmised that if I could take language from a very critically important event that happened in our world that went out to millions of minds, and I could find the maritime language, the water, the sea language, then I would make the statement that space is likely some kind of liquid. So what did I do? I went to the JFK speech, "We're going to the moon." And how does that begin? "We set sail on this new sea," you know, "to travel across this new ocean." He's talking about going to the moon. And that's when I made the announcement. Everything about this world we have taken on trust. Our kindergarten teacher told us something, we said okay. Our fifth grade teacher told us something, we said okay. We went for our bachelor's degree and our professor at college told us something, we said good enough. Well, I'm here to tell you that the adult human mind doesn't work that way. The adult human mind, a truly adult human mind that has not been socially programmed for the last three generations since the advent of television, would say, wait a minute, why should I accept this information? Belief is in fact the enemy of knowing. I can either believe things because I'm told them, or I can challenge things because I want to know them. I could make the simple question right here, are you a person who would rather believe in things or know about things? Because that is the whole basis of what that means. It has nothing to do with religion or spiritual beliefs or any of that. It is a simple statement pointing out that if you went through the school system and just decided to swallow everything you were given, that's not what the adult human mind was meant to be. You should have challenged all of it. The problem here is if you would have challenged all of it, you'd have been the odd man out or the odd woman out. You'd have been the black sheep. You'd have been the teacher's not pet. Because you're supposed to sit there like a good little boy or girl and drink the Kool-Aid. Well, I'm here to tell you that there are a number of us, me included, that did not drink the Kool-Aid, that will not drink the Kool-Aid. And when you begin to challenge what the hell's in the Kool-Aid, let me tell you something. You realize pretty quickly that, you know, belief is in fact the enemy of knowing.
Yeah, they definitely engineered a time now. They've engineered a time now that definitely you cannot say, or the only wrong answer is, I don't know. And if you're in a position where you can't say, I don't know, and you're expected to propose an answer that seems viable and then stick with it. I mean, this is how our students have been conditioned to say, I don't know is wrong. Make up something that sounds viable and then go with it.
Right. You know, and you were talking about, it took me a minute to even realize who Pence is. That's how much I don't give a damn about the news. You know, I've done whole shows to demonstrate why your voting has no role in seating a president. Most people went to high school, but they can't seem to remember that it's actually the Electoral College that seats a president. We have a country full of people that go out to vote for the president, and it's an act in futility. It has no bearing on who's about to be seated, literally no bearing. And it's provable, and it was taught to you in high school. But to get back to the point, Pence is out there doing what he has to do. Here's a glimmer of light. Everyone listening to this show presumably, could quit listening to the show and go lay their head down on their pillow and get some rest. There's an old saying that the wicked can have no rest. No rest for the wicked, right? Well, that's what you're seeing in the Pence comment. They have lies that they have to maintain till the end of time, or until they have such an iron-fisted grip on all of society it doesn't matter anymore. One of those two things. So what you see Pence doing is holding up his end. He can't go take a nap because he's got to go hold up the moon landing lie. You see, anyone who even has a modicum of brain cells left can go ask simple questions like, wait a minute. In 1968, we planned to go to the moon. By 69, we'd done it and brought men safely back. Yet it's been more than 50 years. Why haven't we been back? We didn't even have computers at the time we went to the moon. Or if we did, we're told they were less powerful than the calculator on your desk or the wristwatch on your arm, that kind of thing. It's all nonsense. None of it holds up to the scrutiny of an adult human mind. And that sets aside the tinfoil craft you're told they landed in and the speed of a rocket that they're putting people in, which is actually faster than a rifle bullet. So can you put people on the head of a rifle bullet? I'm just asking. And that sets aside the description of our world, where basically you're being told that we're spinning faster than the speed of sound, traveling at many times the speed of a rifle bullet around a thing that is orbiting a galaxy many, many times the speed of a rifle bullet, which is, again, orbiting within an ever-expanding universe many, 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 many times the speed of a rifle bullet. These things are all nonsense brought to you by scientism. And while this doesn't give me a new map that I can show anyone, unfortunately, it does tell me one thing to a certainty, that what we've been told is incorrect. And even knowing that is something, because I'll tell you something, in the 80s, there weren't very many people who knew these things. Right now, there's a lot of people. And this is why you see the censorship. This is why you see Pence going out, because Mr. Pence stands up, 100 million minds hear him the moment he utters the words. Crow 777 says something. What am I lucky if I get a few thousand people, right? But nonetheless, those few thousand people that I am touching are enough for me to get censored on air while we're recording this episode because I had the nerve to show astronauts in the International Space Station, which is apparently copyrighted video. There it is, man. Do the math. It's not that hard.
Well, folks, it definitely has never been more important for you to visit the individual websites of your favorite researchers. Right. Certainly don't write me anymore and ask me why I've quit, because in 12 years, I have never quit. And you definitely want to get over to crow777radio.com, and that's Crow with two R's. Is that correct?
That is correct, and you're making a hell of a point, man. The time for centralizing on these, you know, most people aren't even aware that part of the funding for Google came from the CIA. You know, did anyone listening to this ever wonder why all these products were free? Why do you get free Gmail? Why do you get free maps? Why is it come all who walk or crawl, give us your 5-hour 4K video, we'll eat the bandwidth, we'll eat the upload, the server space. You know why? Because when you're given a service for free, you are the product. These are data collection platforms. It's what they're there for. It's what they've always been there for. So, you know, people like Freeman or myself who have taken the time and expense to put up private websites, you got to make a decision, man. Are you going to be in the herd mentality over at Facebook and YouTube where they're going to bomb any city they don't like? And they're not going to miss, by the way. There's not a single bomb that will miss its target. They see something they're not down with, they will remove it. As you saw, as we recorded this, I can't talk about astronauts on the International Space Station. As a matter of fact, it violates copyright. When I questioned what happened at another shooting event, I was given a strike for bullying. See, this is all nonsense. If I bullied someone, then I'm asking Google and YouTube right now, produce your injured party. If I bullied someone, then somewhere in this world there is an injured party. Where is that injured party? And I beg to differ. I didn't injure anyone, ever. Point here is, private websites are the way forward. And if you appreciate free speech and you appreciate what those of us who do nonstop research to try to break through the illusion, the veil that is this kind of matrixy world we live in, you need to start supporting these things. And unfortunately, the YouTubes and the Facebooks of this world, they're like the Titanic, man. And that's also another false flag. But the analogy here is they've hit an iceberg and they're going down. So the big question here is, will all you people ride the Titanic to the bottom of the seabed, or will you do something else? I mean, that really is the big question here.
Absolutely. It's up to you, folks. Seriously. You know, we're doing our part, doing everything we can. But we need you to come and support our efforts. So I hope you will come over to freemantv.com and subscribe. I could definitely use you guys right now to help me, you know, get that final foundation I need to be able to feel secure in what I'm doing. So I definitely need you to come over to freemantv.com, become a subscriber, and support these efforts. Now, you can also go over to crow777radio.com, become a subscriber, or just catch up on all the years of work that Crow has put forward and actually get to see everything, because it will be his own personal website there, not being bombed like the moon. So
I should actually, you know what I'm going to do while we're here on there? I'm going to go over to YouTube and see if my channel still exists, because that was number three. I don't know if it was a strike, but if it was a strike, that would be third strike. So maybe on the air here, we'll find out whether Crow 777 on YouTube was burned like a book or whether it exists. All right. I can still hit it, so it does exist. So apparently a copyright is not a strike. I don't even understand how any of that works anymore. But, you know, we're at a crucial time here. You know, here's what happened. A guy that I had followed for many years who'd been kicked out of Facebook or YouTube, I think he's on his 10th channel, something like that, not even searchable anymore. He puts up content, they knock it down. And that tells you something about the value of the content. He came when I started to get my second strike, and it was pretty clear they were coming for me to give me condolences. And he made the offhand comment, it's like a modern day book burning. And I thanked him and I said, yeah, you're right. And as the day went on, I kept thinking about that. And then I realized all this nonsense that gets brought to us through social programming is always branded. It's why whenever there's one of these fake shooting events, they use the word active shooter. You see, that's a form of branding. It's a keyword. It's got all this mechanism behind it to help it do what it does, to help it cast the spell that it's intending to cast. So what I did is I took modern day book burning and I equated it with what YouTube is doing, which is in fact perfect. Everyone understands that book burning is bad. It's a thing we don't want in this world. It has historical references. But more than that, it accurately reflects what's going on. In the case of my channel, 4 solid years of telescopic work, the first known discovery of the lunar wave, an endless line of weird moon anomalies, objects, everything you can imagine might be obliterated. In some cases, the only places some of those clips existed was on YouTube because, you know, so many things have happened. Luckily enough, users have backed up the channel before it gets taken down, if it gets taken down. But here's the point, man. Are you people going to stand for this? That is 4 years of accurate history of a time that occurred in this world. And YouTube thinks it can hide behind the shield of corporation and censor it, burn it, remove it, do whatever it wants with it. And I'm here to tell you, I don't accept that. I don't accept it for acceptance, and I will never accept the corporate argument. And here's the reason for that. If not already, within a short period of time, corporations are going to own every major information source in this world. So if you want to even consider free speech, you better get out of the state of mind where it was this idea that your government couldn't infringe upon you. I would further point out, your government's a corporation. We're not the United States of America. We're the United States. The United States is a corporation. That's why they say U.S. Navy, not USA Navy. You know, think about it. That's why. Because it was incorporated. So how is the government making the laws we're supposed to follow any different than Google? They're not. They're both corporation. But that sets aside the main point here. The main point is every information source in this world will shortly be under the full aegis and control of corporation. If you don't stand up for your natural born rights, let me tell you something, they're going away. And the generations that follow will slowly enter into a form of slavery that was unknown in the history of this country. That's a fact.
Absolutely, without a doubt. And honestly, you know, I put up a picture of Obama. I superimposed Obama's face onto a Nazi youth poster, which was a positive poster in Germany, you know, it was Hitler holding a child, but I put Obama's face there instead because they had just turned the Boy Scouts into Homeland Security, and I wanted to make a little moan about it. Now, I put this up on my MySpace, which my MySpace was completely deleted. It was the best resource of historical content of all my work was on my MySpace, which they just, you know, deleted. And I put that Obama pic as a Nazi youth up on my MySpace, and it was deleted within 5 seconds or less. And I'm freaking out because how does it know?
And bots, man, algorithms.
Yeah. I get a notice saying that I had violated their pornography and hate clause or something to that effect, or pornography and sex and violence. That's what it was, the sex and violence. There was nothing in this, you know, government-sponsored Nazi youth poster that was had anything to do with sex or violence, and yet it was gone within seconds.
Yeah, what they're doing is leveraging the imaginary violence that they created around the idea of Hitler, and now they're shilling it off on you. But, you know, here's something for people to think about, and this is fact. I have a degree in internet technology. I know people in the corporate world. I know some people who are absolutely in the know when it comes to things like YouTube and Facebook and what's going on those platforms. Some of this was reported in the news also, for whatever the news is worth. We challenged the Vegas event to call a spade, to call it the fear and loathing nonsense that it was. All right. So then we all start getting struck down. Within 2 days of Vegas, Facebook and YouTube had rewritten the algorithms, rewritten the computer code that drive their platforms so that they could pick up and catch by automated bot or algorithm, however you want to view that, every conversation that had to do with Vegas. So I ask you all listening, what does that tell you about Vegas? What does that tell you about Vegas? You see, there's certain things we can know as adults in this world. One of those things we can know, not arguably, in the same way we know the sky is blue and no one can tell us it's green, we can know this. A human being cannot make a true thing false. A human being cannot make a false thing true, just the way it works down here. And yet, we have massive purveyors of information, some of the biggest, rewriting their computer code to catch every conversation that occurs online about Vegas. Why? If you hadn't made up your mind, or if you were still confused, or you're wondering if the people you're listening to right now have lost their minds, think about what I have just said and come to a conclusion. It's pretty obvious on the face of it. It's obvious.
Well, Crow, it is super creepy that Gmail knows the responses to my emails and gives me suggestions. It's, I mean, it knows everything that is written to me and gives me proper responses that I would probably even use. And it's quite freaky for sure. But folks, we have definitely learned that the simplest questions can lead to the most grand revelations. So don't forget to ask the simple questions, and then find the tree that's going to give you the full answer and express all of this for us, because we have been lied to. We live in a mental matrix. I agree with Crow. We do live in the age of the hex, and we're going to get deeper and deeper into this in the second hour here on freemantv.com. So I hope you all will come over and subscribe. Crow, what do you got going on right now that the people can tune in and catch up and all of that good stuff?
Well, I just released episode 79 on crow777radio.com. And just so everyone understands how it works over there, I used to run all the free hour on YouTube and things like that. That's really not possible, or it's not anything I want to do anymore. On crow777radio.com, you don't got to log in, you don't got to sign up. The first hour is there for anyone. If you want to support the effort, you can become a member to get the full 2-hour show for about the price of a latte from Starbucks. Not even kidding.
Right.
It's about $1 a show or something like that, a little more. Not much money. That's the way it works. But the episode that I just put out is episode 79. The title of it is The Weapon to End All Weapons, TV, followed by cinema and radio. This is on the tale of an Edward Bernays show we did, who is the double nephew of Sigmund Freud, of course. And this is all to do with social programming. Episode 79, which just went live today, absolutely informs everybody exactly what television has been doing and is doing to us all. There it is.
Fantastic. And yeah, folks, and if in the last 12 years you've thought to yourself, well, maybe I should subscribe, Now is the time to do it. It absolutely is the time. So please come on over to freemantv.com, subscribe to get all the hours that are there. And of course, everything has always been free for the most part on freemantv.com. But we have to find a way to support ourselves. We have to find a way to keep going. And the internet is not free for us. None of us are getting a Zuckerberg check from the CIA. So it's up to you guys to source this situation. So, yeah, well, you know, one of my favorite CERN episodes that I've ever seen was South Park's Pine Box Derby. And we're going to get more into that and some really high strangeness on the other side. So I hope you all will come on over and tune in and get this show, you know, in all the numerous ways that you can listen to The Free Zone. It's all over the internet. Use any of your players. Use your Android. Use your iPhone. Use your iTunes. You know, you can listen to this show in a multitude of ways because, as I have learned, you can be one of the biggest fans of my show and never actually visit my website. As crazy as that seems to be. Thank you all so much for listening in. And members, you know, join us on the other side. We're going to get deep into some high strangeness.